The knife culture is still alive today. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, we have a first time here on the show. For the first time, I am sitting down to review a training film, a whole subgenre of martial art films that teaches you what to do. This one has become quite memeable over the years, as we sit down to review 1988's Surviving Edged Weapons. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. So there's this whole side of martial art film culture where it's just people teaching you how to do different skills. Not quite Taibo, where that falls more of like the exercise training video, but more along the lines of a master, a recognizable figure, teaching you how to fight or to train in a very specific way. One that I plan on getting to in the future, Chuck Norris has a training video on championship karate fighting. So definitely planning on getting to that one at some point in the future. Might be a good fit for Chuck Norris Week sometime in the next couple of years. This training video, Surviving Edged Weapons, falls more under the category, however, not strictly of teaching you how to survive knife attacks, though that is a part of the film. This one is a training video in the sense of like the training videos you watch when you get onboarded to a new job. You know, the sexual harassment videos that everybody has to watch, the basics of your job videos that everybody has to watch, no matter what your field may be. The most well-known of these, of course, being the Krusty Krab training video that taught you what it's like being an employee at the Krusty Krab. Surviving Edged Weapons is a training video that was originally made for law enforcement to be used for training purposes in the late 80s through the early 90s to prepare them for knife-related, bladed weapon, edged weapon scenarios that they may encounter on the field. This film was created by Caliber Press, not to be confused with the Caliber Press who does comic books, who published like the original Crow series. Now, Caliber Press, this one, actually headquartered not too far from me in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. They produce training material for law enforcement. That is the whole purpose of Caliber Press. Still to this day, they are around producing training videos, online courses for local law enforcement. Unfortunately, from what I could tell from their website, you have to be attached to a precinct in order to get access to any of their training materials, even the online training, because I was kind of interested in maybe dabbling with some of it for a future episode. But Caliber Press has been producing training material for local law enforcement for 40 years now, which means that this film, Surviving Edged Weapons, came out not too early, not too long into the career of Caliber Press producing this kind of material for law enforcement. The big purpose of this training video is to show to local law enforcement that preparing for edged weapon attacks or accidental exposure to edged weapons is actually just as dangerous and in some scenarios more dangerous than encountering a firearm. Whether you're in law enforcement or a civilian, we often think of guns as like the end all be all. But this film goes to show that edged weapons can come in a wide variety of ways, and that given their size and the nature of how the weapons are built, they are just as deadly, if not more deadly, than a firearm, given the scenario. So you can deploy a edged weapon quicker than you can deploy a firearm. And that it doesn't matter how well trained you are in either. Given the distance, even at 20 feet, I think in this film, they go as far as 10 feet apart, but even up to 20 feet apart from someone, if somebody pulls a blade on you and you have a firearm, they still have a higher percentage chance of getting in and attacking you successfully than you do of pulling out your firearm and deploying shots. So the purpose of this film is to show that edged weapons are very dangerous, they should be taken very seriously, and this film also shows what to do if you are attacked with an edged weapon, or if you are patting down a suspect and you are trying to do it safely without accidentally cutting yourself on a hidden edged weapon. Although the rest of Caliber Press's training material is locked and behind paywalls and all this kind of stuff, surviving edged weapons is actually really easy to get your hands on. You can go into the description of this episode to find a link to it on YouTube. There's actually several different copies available on YouTube. It's rough because it's, you know, somebody ripped a VHS tape to a digital format. So it who knows, there may have even been the middle step of it being ripped to a DVD before it getting ripped to the internet. But so the quality is a little rough, but this is easily accessible for those of you who have not seen this film. Viewer discretion is advised because, again, since this is a training video, there are actual depictions of actual bodies in morgues of people who have been killed from edged weapon attacks. So this is not a snuff piece. There is not actual footage of real people being stabbed. There's plenty of reenactment by actors of people being attacked with blades. We are used to seeing that in action films. However, you will see actual bodies of real people who were killed with edged weapons. And some of the images that you will see are not too shocking, just like it just looks like a chunk of skin was removed and you can see what's underneath. There are some shots that are very, I wouldn't say super grotesque, but they don't leave a lot to be censored. They will just show you bodies. So if actual footage of injuries is something that is bothersome to you, you might want to skip this film because it's not just like one section of it. It is at various points throughout the movie, they will show you these morgue bodies. It kind of reminded me of, I went to driving school. I took driver's ed, and there's a training video in there that probably some of you out there can remember watching that's like, basically what happens if you're in a drunk driving accident and just like the total carnage that could come from it, all set to Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins. Highway to the Danger Zone, and just like people in literal twisted metal. So yeah, if you are squeamish to actual bodily injuries, viewer discretion is advised towards surviving edged weapons because they do not censor anything. And I do mean they do not censor anything. There is one body that they show. Somebody was attacked with an edged weapon on their leg near, I always forget the name of the artery that is in your leg, but there is one. It's a major artery that is in your leg. And like this attack severed this artery really well. But for some reason, they did not take the time to throw a blanket over this individual's penis. So you just get to see their uncircumcised penis very clearly in the shot. Almost like the penis is almost bent towards where the cut is at, like the person's penis is an arrow towards the wound. And with that being said, I think this is the right time to transition from what is a very somber portions of this film to the fact that this has become quite the memeable film in certain spaces on the internet. Work-related training videos do have this angle at times of being very campy. I mean, that was kind of the point of the entire Krusty Krab training video episode of SpongeBob, is that training videos can be just like campy. Another popular one that I see sometimes on Reels, I think it's like one for Speedway from back in the 90s, showing somebody had put like a car battery in a microwave, and it's like your responsibility to make sure that those kind of things don't happen, like something ridiculous like that. And Surviving Edged Weapons is no exception. What is even better is the fact that this film came out in the 80s. And so there are just some aspects of this movie that is just so 80s dated that it does become even more comical. Plus the fact that they are doing their best to show to local law enforcement that these things could happen. You know, you could be attacked by an edged weapon, and that edged weapons could come in a variety of styles, and then things kind of jump off the deep end. So in the category of regular campiness, from the start, literally the very moment the movie begins, it opens with two cavemen, one preparing food while the other goes to attack said caveman for the food, pulling out a sharpened rock, while a narrator talks about how edged weapons are the oldest form of weapons known to humanity. That's literally how this movie begins, folks. There's other scenes that come up throughout this film that kind of underscores the whole campiness of it. One at one point, and you may have seen some of these in real forms on Instagram or on TikTok or something. So there's one where a local law enforcement officer arrives on the scene to check in on like some domestic disturbance kind of thing. And the person on the other side of the door pulls out a katana and starts stabbing through the door, because apparently doors in the 1980s were made out of cardboard and you could easily shove a katana through it. And this is a front door. I want to clarify that. Like, interior doors are pretty, like, those are flimsy. You might be able to shove a katana through it. But an exterior door, what were those made out of in the 80s? Cardboard? Because this guy is just like shoving his sword through it several times over. There's also famously, this is one that I've seen multiple times in real form, an officer pulls a guy over for like reckless driving. I think it's implied that he's driving under the influence, and he asks the guy for his license and registration, and he turns back into the car and pulls out a blade and he goes, "Yeah, here's my fucking license. Come and take it, cop." I may have delivered the line better than the actor did. I'm not here to brag, but I think I had it just as well, if not better, than the person in this movie. This film also goes to great lengths to show you just how many kinds of edged weapons you could encounter in the field. Obviously, when you think of an edged weapon, you think of a knife, right? But this movie goes further than that. Apparently, one very common form of edged weapon, particularly in a domestic abuse setting, is a screwdriver. Okay, I'll allow that. I could see how that could be, you know, very easily used in that kind of capacity. And then, so I talked about how this movie's kind of dated. It's very 80s. So there's like a scene where two cops respond to a scene to find a Satanist performing a satanic ritual, and they've got the very large, comical, squiggly knife. This is one of those instances where I feel like we're either going off of the account of one person who encountered this at some point in their career, and we're going to make it an entire thing out of it. Or, because the satanic panic was still very much on everybody's mind, even though history has proven that the satanic panic was, at best, an overblown moralistic agenda versus an actual threat to society, that we're just preparing for a scenario that never happened for anybody. Along with the satanic panic, you know what else was really popular in the 80s? Ninjas. Ninjas were really popular in the 80s, and there's a whole section, actually probably several sections of this film, that talks about how dangerous a martial artist could be with an edged weapon. There's shuriken being thrown at cops. There's people in offices on their lunch break training with blades. Just like, we're really just going to assume that anybody could be a ninja warrior, and we're going to take that very seriously. I talked about how early on, how there's these parts of the film that shows you just how quickly somebody could deploy a knife over a firearm. This is true. This is a true statement that even the average person could pull a knife on somebody and wound the individual several times over before the other person could pull out their firearm and get a shot off. But one thing I love that this movie did is that for part of this section to show just how quickly someone could be with a blade, they got Dan Inosanto to do these scenes. You know, the multiple time black belt, good friend of Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris, master in Arnis, a weapons-based martial art that focuses on knife training, to show just how fast someone could be with using this kind of a weapon. It's like you got a professional athlete. You got like the best case scenario to show what the average person could do. That's not how that works at all. In today's training, we are going to look at the dangers that law enforcement officers could encounter in the form of kicks to the groin. And to demonstrate this, we have brought in professional wrestler Balzmo. That might be a deep cut reference, but you get the idea of like, hey, how fast could a high schooler throw a football versus how fast somebody could run? Let's bring in Tom Brady to see. Now, as I'm watching this campy, kind of dated, and definitely preparing people for any possible scenario ever film, one question kept coming to mind, and it's this. Why? Why are we doing this? Why are we talking about edged weapons? I get the idea that I definitely think it is important because this is still like a statistically true thing. I did a good chunk of research while watching this film. Not enough to do a whole TED talk for you all, but I did do a good chunk of research for this film. And it is still true to this day that on average, given a distance of 1 foot to 20 feet, someone could pull a knife on you faster than you could shoot at them. That's like, so I get it from that standpoint of preparing law enforcement for that kind of scenario and to take edged weapons seriously, because I think especially here in the US, gun violence is such a forefront in our minds that edged weapons seems like a distant second place, even though statistically still to this day, edged weapons are the second highest cause of domestic assault. Well, there is one reason that this film gives as to why it is so important, beyond the fact that it needs to be taken seriously, and that is because immigrants from other countries, this is their preferred form of weapon in their home country, and they're migrating to the United States from countries like China, South Africa, various South American countries. And so law enforcement needs to be prepared for handling these situations from people who are more common to using these kinds of weapons from other countries, people who come from other countries. And this is, and say it with me, folks, racist and xenophobic, and also a little factually misleading. Follow me on this, folks. So the peak of, like, violence in America, the peak was the late 80s through the early 90s. Violent crimes was at its all-time high during this time period. Actually, within my lifetime, over the past 30 years, violent crimes have gone down across the United States, especially within bigger cities. I know that with the continual rise of school shootings, and, you know, we have things like ICE shootings and things like that, it might be hard to believe that, but over the past 30 years, these kinds of violent crimes have continued to go down. The through line from the 80s through now is that juvenile violent crimes, whether that is juveniles doing violent crimes or juveniles being on the receiving end of violent crimes, that has been a steady through line over the past 30 years or more. It is also worth pointing out that statistically speaking, violent crimes happen intra-racially, meaning it is more likely for a crime to occur violently, white on white or black on black, not mixed race. So to the dirty pig at the end of this movie who said, "I ain't gonna die in no ghetto," screw you. But the real kicker here, listener, is this. So, immigrants are coming from other countries like China and South American countries where it's more prevalent to use knives over other forms of weapons. Here's a fun fact for you. So, I was trying to find, along with, you know, just trying to prepare law enforcement for, you know, potentially being attacked with a fishing hook. That's a real thing, by the way, that comes up in this video. I was trying to see if there was an increase in violent crimes related to edged weapons during this time period in the United States. And it was hard, at least from the, I don't know, I probably put like 45 minutes to an hour worth of research, which is way more than I usually do for an episode. I probably put in like 45 minutes to an hour worth of research to try and figure out like some of these additional information, because I want to see just how necessary this was outside of just a general training, right? So, unfortunately, I really couldn't pull any hard data that said that, oh yeah, in the late 80s, like stabbings, you know, they were happening left, right, and center. That was the most common form of violent crimes in the United States. Could not find that at all. Not that that was ever stated in the film, but that was kind of like the idea, the thesis statement in my head. It was like, okay, maybe stabbings are like at a all-time high, so we're going to make this film to kind of help prepare cops, that kind of a thing. Do you know where violent crimes with an edged weapon was at an all-time high in the late 80s through the early 90s? The UK. This is like actually something that you can track, is that due in part to the fact that gun rights, the ability to own a firearm is so much different in the UK versus here in the United States. Here in the US, it's a right. In the UK, it's a privilege. That's the simplest way to boil it down. There's more steps you have to go through. You can own a firearm in the UK. The idea that they're illegal is kind of a misconception, but it is not just as pervasive. Firearms are nowhere near as pervasive as they are here in the U.S. So violent crimes typically are more so done with edged weapons. And in the 80s through the 90s, they were at an all-time high. They were not one of the countries that was named for, these immigrants coming over from other countries, they use their edged weapons more, you know, like in the UK, like Scotland and Wales and England. Nope, that's not brought up, even though that is something you can actually track. The situations are different because, like I said, firearms are treated differently, maybe for the better, in the UK over the US. But I just was like blown away by the fact of like, oh, so this movie is just racist. Got it. So would I watch Surviving Edged Weapons again? I don't think so, because even the part where it's teaching you how to defend against the knife attacks isn't great. You see, they talk about in the film earlier on how usually when you see knife attacks happen in a movie, it is an over-the-top stabbing motion. Think Michael Myers in Halloween. Where in reality, most people use knives in a lower, like, waist-level slashing motion. Which is why, when they get to the part in the film, when they teach you how to defend against knife attacks, they only show you how to defend over-the-top knife attacks. And I haven't even gotten to the part, because I'm basically out of time, I haven't even gotten to the part about how they just continue to show that people who are going through depressive episodes are a danger to themselves and everybody around them, and that they, you know, will just start hacking and slashing at everything. Like, it's just, it truly is bad. It's bad enough, it's dated enough that it stops being like, it's so bad, it's good, and it's just bad, and basically falls under so many different categories of propaganda that it's like, there's not even a bother to watch it again. Would I own it? I mean, I guess if I came across it, that kind of seems like a holy grail pull to actually have like a physical copy of it. I'm not going out of my way to find it, though. Well, that's it for me. So thanks for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend and check out the other shows here on the Anazao Ministries Podcast Network, like my sister show, My Seminary Life, or Sysmackiology, Friday Night Frights, if you're looking for something a little bit more geeky for your life. You can follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, where you can get a review of the show before the episode comes out. And check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.